When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That time of the week again, the Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard and get ready for an hour of nothing of the NRL tour. And here on a Sunday night, Boxhead to preview the first of three State of Origins, a big one this year, and obviously the relocation to North Queensland, making it even bigger for New South Wales, having to go back-to-back in Queensland.
Yeah, well, you go back to Game 3 last year, and then Game 1 and Game 2 this year are going to be in Queensland, so, yeah.
There we go. We're off the back of the shortened NRL round this weekend. We'll have a quick run through that once we do our in-depth Origin Game 1 preview, but I think there wasn't really any surprises through the weekend, I guess. Bookies had Penrith still as heavy favourites with a lot of those players out. I tipped the Tigers, but like you just see the difference there when you take out eight players from a team.
Yeah.
Seven guys playing Origin, one suspended, the lack of cohesion and having a lot of first gamers in there. The Dragons-Broncos game, I expected to be a little bit closer. The Dragons ended up blowing them off the park. Storm Titans was closer than I expected, I must admit.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be closer than what the odds suggested.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect the Titans to go close to winning.
I think the disappointing thing probably again, from your perspective, or probably Holbrook's as well, that defensive effort without their three best players, and where's that been the last few weeks?
Yeah, that's right.
So if they could have brought that while they had Tino, AJ and Moiaki, obviously, and Fifita all on the field, and be a much better chance of winning some games, but the one today, Newcastle, missing majority of their forward pack, still got injuries. Ponga, Pierce, just blown away by a Parramatta side who were lucky enough to get Reid Marnie back, who now may have sustained a major injury, a pec or a bicep.
No, they're saying it's shoulder.
Well, there you go.
So scans, obviously, we're not going to know anything until he gets a scan. But
nah.
But the only, not thinking he's going to be going back up into Origin camp.
Nah. Only player they were missing, obviously, was Paulo, and it showed. Newcastle sort of in the mix, I guess, for about 15-20 minutes, but the game turned on an absolute bloodbath. They got pulled apart.
Yeah, it just got bashed.
So moving on from that one, we are analysing Game 1 of State of Origin, New South Wales versus Queensland, going through the lineups as we did the other day. At fullback for Queensland, Valentine Holmes on the wing, Xavier Coates, and now Kyle Felt after the reshuffle with Ponga pulling out. The centres, Kirk Capewell, Dane Gagai. In the halves, you've obviously got Daly Cherry Evans and Munster, the two mainstays long term. The front row, Christian Welch, Tino Fasulamalaawi, and Harry Grant is the nine. The back row, Felice Kafusi, David Fifita, and at lock, Jai Arrow. And the bench now, Jaden Sua. You've obviously got Big Mo from the Titans, Moiaki Fotuaika, Joe Offahengiawi, AJ Brimson still under a cloud, but assuming he will be the utility, and with those injuries and changes, Reid Marnie being released from camp, obviously Ponga being out, they now only have an 18th man in Cohen Hess.
There you go. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting if AJ Brimson gets ruled out.
Well, that's the thing. You look at it now and go, if something happens, where's the cover? They've got no cover at all.
Not that I think they need it. I said it on last week's show that I'm not overly sold on the use of the 14. I think if you've got a purpose-built player and someone that you think can add value, but Brimson, to me, what are they going to play him at lock? Where are they going to put him on?
I said as much the other week. With the way the rules were going, I think it's more feasible now that you can throw a spark plug out there. Like they used to throw Morgan out because he was, basically an extra forward because he weighed 100-plus kilos. Brimson's obviously not that guy. Jack Whiten's obviously that big body on the other side if you want to just throw him out there to try and get some sort of spark or an impact. But Offahengiawi was still probably the one I was more surprised about. Between him and Hess, they both can play middle or an edge. Sua can play middle or an edge. Moiaki's purely going to play middle. But I guess We'll start with Queensland strengths, weaknesses, thoughts on their team. I think probably the real big thing for me, just talking about that again and what's going to be happening on the bench, their starting forward pack, and in particular their starting middles. I think they need to do particularly well when they've got Welch and Tino on the field along with Arrow. Because when Moriaki comes on, I know he's a good footballer, but still very, very young, still very, very raw in this sort of arena. Offhand Gowie's few games in club form, still up and down. Sua this year has been a bit up and down, and again, playing in the middle, playing on an edge. I think their bench rotation as compared to what they get from their starters. Tino last year showed how much he reveled in this arena. He was one of their best last year. Christian Welch just grew an extra leg last year, and this year is a leading offloader in the NRL. I think those two are critical in getting going, getting them into the contest and unleashing Harry Grant, who obviously is another key player for them to get rolling early because he hasn't played football in over a month. Arrow's also there, so they've got very, very good leg speed, footwork and some offloading ability through the middle third of the field. You look across the park, I guess the biggest upside is their halves. They've got Munster.
Yeah, the halves and hooker, but to me, the two that just look like absolute standouts compared to what New South Wales are offering in terms of previous origin experience and club form. I think if you're going on club form, then the Luai-Cleary pairing looks good. But, you know, you look at Harry Grant, I know he hasn't played in a while, but I look at that 9-6-7 for Queensland and go, you know, wow. Holmes at one. You know, has he really nailed down the one position at club? Probably not. So I'm not, you know, he doesn't strike a lot of fear in me at one. I probably would have gone Brimson. I think Brimson's probably offered more at one for the Titans than what Holmes has for the Cowboys, but that's just more humble. But yeah, for me, Queensland's 9-6-7. It concerns me as a New South Wales fan. They're going to be super dangerous.
They've done it in this arena. Like you said,
if they can, those middles can dominate and get them some momentum, we're going to see some good footy out of those three players.
In particular, like I said, it needs to happen with the starters because I look at the bench and think those periods when they get those guys on, it's going to be more of a maintained period maybe.
Well, it'll be how he interchanges.
Yeah.
You don't really want to have the whole bench on at the one time.
No, you're 100% correct in all that. I guess just how they manage their way through those periods, but I assume the rules as well. We don't really know how it's going to play out. We've seen the last few weeks, we've gone from just ridiculous speed, fatigue, all these play the balls and probably not been able to maintain your middles and having to monitor things a little bit more in that situation. But now with the interpretations, the way things are getting penalised, all the stoppages, it'll probably help Queensland in that regard, not having to worry as much about your rotations. You'll probably get more out of Tino and Welch, and I think it was only confirmed today by the referee because a lot of people have been questioning back and forth and I don't know why they're surprised. Will there be any leniency or difference in interpretation as we've seen in the past in Origin, which there was a firm no. And with the way they've started to interpretate things,
you know. We'll see.
Oh, I know we'll see, but if they're going to go the way they are, penalties have almost doubled or tripled. They wanted to get rid of penalties and get six agains going to get flow going, and now we've done the complete opposite. So that knock-on effect is starting to come in, and I think we saw it in the Panthers game on the weekend. There was like 18 penalties in that game. There was a lot of stoppages.
Mm.
There was a lot of backtracking, and it's starting to help teams again. In all honesty, it's ruining the flow for some teams, but for other teams that want to make it a bit messy, want to make it a bit ugly and get a bit of a break, if those interpretations are carried into the Origin arena and we do see stoppages or that sort of game, it's definitely going to help in regards to the way they manage their middles and their bench. But yeah, no doubt those guys need to get going early. Harry, opening things up, probing around the ruck, opening up the spaces, getting guys moving onto the ball, the halves. Munster just had a field day last year. And the scary part is hungover. He just rolls in, plays the way he does. Game two, he gets knocked out. And then in game three, he just ran amok. Mm. Every time he got the football. I've said it before on here as a Melbourne fan how frustrating it is because in my eyes, I can't think of a finals game in particular in the last couple of years when we've won competitions or been in grand finals where he's played like that for Melbourne.
Yeah.
But when he plays for Queensland, he just goes absolutely next level. The best game you ever played for Melbourne in a final was probably the first ever game that you took me to the year we were written off against the Roosters in 1v4 and he played fullback. Mm. Other than that, the grand final run last year was off an injury and was quiet. In the grand final, he was quiet. The 2018 grand final, he got put in the bin twice in the game. Didn't have a great final series. But at this level, when he puts a Maroon jersey on, he just goes next level. So he's going to be a constant threat, and I guess, talking about his edge now. That is the danger edge. You've got David Fifita, Munster, Gagai, who again, puts every time he puts on a maroon jersey, he goes to another level. Assuming Felt's going to be on the outside of him. Good try scorer, solid yardage, good kick target. But it's a concern for me when you've got Murray, who I know defended well at club football in any position he's sort of been put in, but you've got a guy that generally defends as a middle with Cleary, with Tom, who also the last time played with James Roberts had some disconnect. Being a fullback, that's my other concern with Luttrell as well, even though he's played there a bit. Just guys that don't defend in the front line all the time and getting that connection on those edges and what they're coming up against, Munster, Gagai, Fifita. If they get disconnected or if they get a bit of a roll on and get to the edges with some early ball and try and isolate those guys, I'll be very interested to see the connection in particular between the centre and the winger and Tom and Toto.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. Two fullbacks defending the centres, it's going to be... going to be a test, absolutely, and that's, you know, my concern. And for long-term listeners of the podcast, you know, my thoughts around playing guys out of position in these big games, I don't particularly like it. But I can live with it. I think Tom's played well one time previously in the centres for New South Wales. Luttrell obviously has a bit of an NRL history playing centre, so recent history playing centre.
So, you're
right, though.
Yeah,
if you're coaching against it, you're certainly going to try and put some strain on that and see how see whether you can produce some early results and dent their confidence, that's for sure.
Well, just like you say, if you're not there every single week, you can get a bit trigger-happy. So some guys can hesitate, some can jump in. The last time we had Jet and Tom there playing together, he tended to come in a bit hard or they were a bit disconnected. So I'd be interested to see how that works out. I'm more confident with Murray and Cleary together that they'll be able to sort of hold things together, that edge, but they're going to need inside help. Their middles are going to need to work across and give some help because that edge with Fifita, Munster, Gagai in particular is very, very dangerous.
Mm.
And when they do get a roll on, I assume that's where most of the traffic's going to go. On the flip side, I'm really, really happy it's not the other edge that they're going out with Sims, Luai, Luttrell and Fox. Because Luttrell, as we've seen in the past, same deal. Can have his moments defensively. Luai, someone I definitely think you can get at. You saw that Melbourne tried to do it a couple of times last year. He's tackle efficiency's gone up this year significantly, but Sims is definitely going to have to be a bit of a bodyguard, and I assume there'll be as much traffic go his way with Felice Kaufusi, who's just a bully and a veteran in this arena. Cherry Evans, I'm sure, will play short plenty and get it to him. Catewell, obviously last year put there, surprised a lot of people, but absolutely Bath Gutherson. I don't think that's going to be the case against Luttrell, who's much more physical and much more stronger, but I think Catewell surprised a lot of people. So again, can't be taken for granted in that sense. But, yeah, I think that the left-hand side up against that right-hand side is probably the one I'm more looking at thinking they're going to have a lot more love. Another thing for me, talking about that bench in the middle rotation, I don't know if you agree. I think the one thing they've done well and they continue to do well is just front-load their efforts like in halves and early in the game defensively, kicking early, pinning us in yardage, and with being a little bit lighter on the bench, I think that's something they definitely have to do against New South Wales.
Yeah, particularly like you said before, with a perceived advantage for New South Wales on the bench.
Perceived.
We'll see how that pans out. But Origin's going to be all about front loading. Front loading your first two tackles when you're defending, front loading your first two tackles when you're attacking, because it's going to come down to ruck momentum, essentially.
It's so often that that's just it'll become
just that backyard footy style game. Until you get a line break or you get an offload, and then that's when you're going to see defences break down. It'll just be interesting to see how the interpretations and the refereeing, how that's certainly going to dictate the style of game that we're going to see. Is it going to be consistent stoppages with penalties and indiscretions and six agains, et cetera, et cetera? Or are they going to put the whistles away and allow it to be that Origin style game, I guess, where they'll let some of those minor things probably slide, which is, you know, the type of game that I personally want to see. But we'll just see how it pans out, and both sides are going to have to be agile and be ready to adapt to whatever style the referees adopt, because they can say whatever they want, the referees, in terms of what they're actually going to do, but you're never really going to know until they hit the field. We've seen that before in Origin. You know, referees or styles of games, the way that games have been refereed changed throughout a series. So, but Peter Philandi's, I guess, will be pretty firm in that he'll want to see some consistency around those rules and their application in, you know, the Origin arena.
Yeah. I think, obviously, we know Cherry Evans is going to be the predominant kicker. Munster does some attacking kicks, mostly bomb, not big on the short kicks. Harry Grant hasn't been a big part of his game or something we've seen so far, so expecting Cherry Evans. But in particular, like I said, those early kicks, it's just something that they've understood so much better in the time that I've sort of watched Origin or I've been alive and we've gone to games, that they just tend to get in the cycle a bit more. They tend to be more aggressive. They tend to show more effort, like we said, in front loading and getting down and just getting in that dirty period there and starting to control field position, etc. So expect nothing less again. And I guess the other thing, kicking options or kick targets, it's been talked about a lot and in the lead-in, it more surprised me. You know, Bomb Toto, he's short. It's like, Addo Carr's 1 centimetre taller than him. And Addo Carr's been picked on at times as well with the kick target. The one upside we do have here, and we have an answer for it, if you're that worried about it, especially in the attacking zone where Queensland have an opportunity to put a cross-field kick, the downside of obviously having two centres, again, like I said, that may, you know, be a bit indifferent at times about their decisions, and hopefully they aren't defensively, we have two guys that are outstanding under the high ball. So if you're that worried about having Xavier Coates per se matched up on Fox on that side of the field or Toto against Felt, who's a hell of a leaper, play four, it wouldn't be too hard to swap those two guys with Luttrell or Tom Tavrovic and get a matchup that's favourable if we're worried about attacking kicks from Queensland. I'm sure they'll try it out at some period. I don't know if that's something they talk about in camp, but if you're worried about that perceived disadvantage with attacking kicks and those two guys there, you've got two great options on the inside that you could easily swap over a play early, if need be.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no doubt they'll probably try their luck having two guys there that are obviously...
Yeah, you want your two catchers catching.
Yeah, and I get that. But if it ever got to a point there where we're under pressure, it wasn't really panning out, we've got two outstanding options there where we could have swap if need be. I'll be interested to see how that pans out. But all the talk around Toto and he's so short, this, that, and the other, like he's 1 centimetre shorter than Addo Carr. Mm. So the only real game this year they talked about when they played Brisbane still ran for 200 plus metres and Coates tried to jump over him a few times. I still can't remember Coates scoring or, you know, maybe there was a few ugly contests there, but he didn't give one up. So
yeah.
All in all, most of the games that he plays, even when they do kick to him, I think if anything, kick-wise, not just on that thing you want to do, I think if you're going to isolate someone from a yardage carry, Toto's the one I'm probably going to bomb to. I want Addo Carr taking the first carry.
Yeah, I just bombed off dummy half. Right? It's a bit overrated, I think. You know, if you're a winger and you're playing at the NRL level, you need to know how to catch. So I don't think it's going to be an issue.
No.
You can talk about this Coates stuff all you want. He's going to be taller than the majority of wingers he plays against. He's probably the tallest winger in the game. So, you know, if he's going to jump against Turbo or Latrell, he's going to be taller than them as well. So he's still going to have that height advantage, that jumping advantage. So
I had a look the other day.
It's a bit overrated. Like, how many tries has he scored off kicks this year in the NRL? I wouldn't imagine it'd be...
Off straight-up bomb contests in the air, not many. I think they've kicked for him a few times on the run. I think
the game's sort of gone away from that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think he's done as much in that regard as what has been spoken about. I think the other thing you brought up before, I think the one interesting thing, the 6-7-9, I think it's going to be outstanding. I'll be interested to see Val Holmes' contribution to the ball-playing side of things. He's got a pass, but I dare say you'd agree with me in the fact that if Ponga was healthy, I'd be even more intimidated about that left-hand side. Because he loves sweeping to that side of the field. He's got a better passing game. He's a bit more dangerous in that regard. I think Holmes, you got more of that running threat and you'll see him pushing up through the middle of the field and sweep around it. And he's got better in that area, but I'll just be interested to see how much he's utilised in that sort of sense and how he plays with the two halves.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
But the other thing, obviously, I thought they would have went with the two nines. We know they're not going to now, but Harry and all the talk was he's the second fittest at Melbourne, this, that and the other, but it's still a big turnaround, not playing for almost a month to going into what is perceived 80 minutes of Origin, we're guessing. That's a big ask.
Huge.
So that's definitely something I'll look for New South Wales on that side of things. But yeah, I guess finishing off on the Queensland side of things, interested as well with that bench that we've already talked about. And the key players or the most key moments there, I think, are those two halves. Regardless of what we talked about, missing Collins, Papali, their options lighter on. I had no surprises realistically in who they selected. A couple of the guys on the bench that may be questionable. We know what happens when guys put on a Queensland jersey. They usually exceed expectation, but I think their 1-13 is very good. I think they've got a really good starting pack. They're mobile. They're aggressive. 9, 6, and 7. The 6 and 7 in particular, like we said, have had success before. Good kicking game. And then you've got the guy in Munster that's just that X factor, that game breaker.
Mm.
And yeah, I'll be interested to see how they start and if they can get that momentum going and have a crack at those edges early in particular and test out the connections, having two guys that don't defend in the front line and a back rower that obviously generally defends in the middle, etc. And middle, I have no doubt that Cook will be the target. Cook gets through plenty of work, but I wouldn't say he's the most dominant tackle. He has that sort of sideways turn technique where he catches and he's going to need help. And I definitely think, you know, Jake, Safidi, Yo are going to be busy in the early stages up against Tino, Welch, Arrow, etc., trying to help out there. And Safidi as well, obviously, probably not the best lateral mover, but he's got a great carry, so no doubt they'll certainly try to work over that middle early. They've probably got a bit more of a mobility advantage in terms of their two props, as opposed to, say, a Jake and a Safidi as well.
Yeah, true.
But New South Wales, that lineup, as we said the other day, James Tedesco at fullback, no surprise there. On the wings, Josh Adokar, Brian To'o, Tom Trbojevic in the centres with Latrell Mitchell, the halves, the Panthers boys, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary. The front row, Jake Trbojevic, Daniel Safidi. The hooker is Damian Cook. The back row is Tarek Sims, Cameron Murray, Locke Yo. And on the bench, Jack Whiten, Payne Haas, Junior Paulo and Liam Martin. And the 18th man, Api Korosau. They obviously took in Campbell Graham and Keon Kalamatungi off the bye in those two spots. But realistically, Api's your 18th. Bench options straight away is the one thing that stood out to me. And again, last year we got bullied in that area, so hopefully that isn't the case, because perceivably, again, like you said, last year we had an advantage in that regard and our rotation, etc., and it didn't pan out that way. They did what they always do. They gave it to us, and in particular, game three, they just absolutely bullied New South Wales, and they didn't stand up for themselves.
Yeah, so I made a point of watching that game on Friday. We had a rained-out session at school, and the rugby league boys wanted to watch game three. There's a lot of Queensland fans, weirdly, in Western Sydney in terms of our young rugby league players. So, yeah, put that game on. It was up until about half time, it was pretty close, but Queensland came out in the second half and put a couple of early ones on, and that was all she wrote.
They certainly bashed us, though.
But, yeah, I think it's the neutral game's always the one, and, you know, this is the, I guess,
perceived neutral.
Neutral game. So.
Well, the only real upside is,
I think, you lose here, good luck winning game two at Suncorp.
Said as much the other day, and a few people asked me what I thought, and I said the exact same thing. If we lose this one, I have no confidence heading into game two to close it out at Suncorp. The other thing about it, I guess the one upside here compared to Melbourne, and it's been mentioned a bit this week, it was perceived to be 10, 11 degrees down there, potentially a wet track.
Well, not perceived to be, it is. It's fucking cold.
It's going to be 22 apparently on Wednesday unless something changes. Nice dry track, fast, and with the guys that we've picked in particular in our halves and the way you think they're going to play, if he's picked these Penrith guys for that reason, they're going to move the football.
And yeah,
he's
picked. Then you look at Cherry Evans, Munster and Grant. They're just as good at it.
Yeah, they're going to try and move the footy.
I think it's a bit, that's been overstated.
Well, I think the other thing, it's a little overstated. It's all well and good to pick a lot of these good individuals, but it can't just be free reign. There's got to be some sort of order about how we play. Like I keep hearing, look at the individual talent we got. We got Tom, we got Jake, we got Latrell, but with all those mouths to feed, people have to buy into their role and do their job.
Yeah, but it's also you pick and cherry pick the Panthers players out, and they play a completely different attacking style to the majority of other NRL teams.
Yeah,
so
they don't play.
Well, Cleary plays as middle service with a fullback on one edge and a half on the other edge. It's a bit technical to explain, but I don't think New South Wales adopted it last year. Whether Brad Fittler's gone away and thought, well, if I'm going
to
pick
Cleary,
maybe that's why he's picked Luai. But Tedesco isn't that Dylan Edwards style fullback who's happy to sort of swing and be a bit player. Not a bit player, that's not the right word, but just fall in as a part of that system. He's very much a guy who wants to be around the ball. So, you know, whether he can work in with that or not, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how Freddie sort of tries to mould in the Penrith style with the other players, because they don't have a lot of time to prepare.
Yeah.
And to pick Luai sort of leans over to that they're going to lean that way and play that style. So
I think the other thing as well, they do that a lot of the other clubs don't. They don't waste plays. They load and go again. Yeah. They just go bang, bang. Penrith aren't one of these teams that's set up for one shot or have three to a spot and then we'll go again, or, you know, we might have two here and have a shot and then we might get a second shot. Penrith are constantly moving the point of attack. and with Yo in
there. Yeah, they're always in shape. Yep. They always, from wherever there's a play the ball, Penrith are aware of what shape they should be running.
Mm. And they've got players, bodies in motion, players that are options, but Yo, as we said even the other day, going back to the point of having all these gun individuals and everyone getting their hands on the football, it has to be guided by those three players in particular. The link is Yo, like they have at club.
Yeah.
He's got that pass. You've got Luai, you've got Cleary. You can't have Jake then jumping in playing that James Graham sort of role where he meanders kind of on the line and plays out the back. You can't be, you know, rotating Tom in all the time and they're talking about Latrell's passing ability. If we've got all these guys that want to be a chief, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But that's more what I'm saying. With all this individual talent we've got, it has to fit in, obviously, with a certain way that I play. Last year, like you mentioned, most people overlooked, Kieran Cleary didn't work. We had two chiefs.
Yeah,
and it didn't work. This year, obviously, he's injured. They've picked his partner, the way they play at club. You've got Yo. I'm surprised they didn't go the whole hog for Arpy, but given previous series performances by Cook, he's got the runs on the board, so he's getting a crack game one. If they lay a good platform for him going back to our middles and our rotation, I have no doubt he can probably play a good game here. Because the middles that he's got at club who haven't been playing as well, he's got an outstanding opportunity here playing off the back of Safidi, Haas Paul off the bench, Yo's leg speed and what we've got coming in that regard. So I think he's a huge, not, I wouldn't say question mark, and I think the other thing at times at club, his service this year I don't think has been as great. So with the way, like you're saying, that Penrith like to play and get nice and wide and moving the football on the point of attack, he's going to have to be on point there. Because that's one thing that not only Coruscant manipulates a lot better and works the ruck over and holds players up, but his service is better than Damien Cook's on a consistency basis. And even Benji Marshall, as much as he jokes at times, has literally said multiple times that he sledged Damien Cook about his service.
Mm.
So I think that's a key factor into helping those guys in the spine. Similar deal about incorporating players, like on the right-hand side there, they're talking, you know, they're going to get Tom at the back and this, that, and they're like, I just hope they don't overcomplicate things because we've picked all these really good guys at club. I really hope they don't overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
I've got confidence with what's on
and
the field.
Less is more.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do a good job in the middle and you get things going, I have no doubt they'll get good ball. In particular, Luai Latrell, I'm interested to see that combination on the left. Like, he does great at club football generally with Kikau, Crichton, Burton, etc., whoever's had on that edge and been able to take advantage and get early ball or create opportunities there because he's a danger. Running wise as well, but if we can get a roll on our left hand side as well with those guys and Fox on the outside and Teddy sweeping there, I have no doubt linking up, that's exciting.
Yeah,
but it all starts with our middle getting that roll on, getting Cook going, which gets Teddy hanging around the ball, and like I said, just not too many cooks. Jake, just do that job, plug away, tackle, run, maybe tip ons with your forwards, that bit of push, but like there's got to be one link man, and it's got to be not Jake in this game. And the right hand side, obviously, years gone, I wouldn't say we've underutilised it, but for the most part, we haven't seemingly gone that way. But I think now that Nathan is that dominant figure and we've kind of incorporated that system, he's got Tom over there, we have to do a better job of playing both sides of the field. The first few sort of years he's been in there, it seems like we've been completely left-sided and sort of, you know, that side's just wore the brunt defensively and done a lot of work there and tried to absorb what Queensland's doing, but... yeah, I got great confidence that if we can win that middle battle and unlock Tedesco and Teddy and Cook and get things rolling, that we can get to these edges, play both sides of the field, and hopefully get those Panthers boys sort of playing, as you were saying, how they like to play at club football and using those weapons they've got around them, their ball running ability.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're perceivably, I'd be interested to see that matchup with Gagai and Tom at times. Like, Gagai is very, very dangerous in terms of what he does in attack, but you can get him defensively. Munster. At club sometimes not the best defender. For feeder, I wouldn't say he's the best 80 minute player, so if they can cycle and get that, there's some definite weaknesses that you can expose on that edge of the field. Nathan no doubt will challenge inside shoulder for feeder if he gets lazy. They'll run plenty of traffic at Munster. You know, Murray's got that footwork there. I think in particular in that cycle with someone like a for feeder who's more explosive than he is consistent over an 80 minutes is someone that I'd be looking to get at and get some traffic going to. Their middle, no doubt we're going to go after Harry Grant, much like Munster, hasn't played football in a month. You want to test him out early?
Get Safidi. No cover.
Mm. And like get
Brimson's not going to play.
Nah, not huge minutes nine. At nine if he has to go there. The other side of the field, Latrell Catewell brought up again, like Gustafson last year, attack and defensively, really struggled there. I think it's not going to be the physical side defensively that Latrell struggles with. It might be decision-making, but in attack, you'd love to see that matchup. A guy that is... you know, a good mover, but compared to the trail end attack, if we get early ball in space, I think that's also another matchup that really suits New South Wales if he can win that middle of the field. Coates on his outside as well. At times, I know Brisbane's probably not the best place to be learning how to defend. I'm sure he'll be much better next year at Melbourne, but he's someone at the moment that doesn't know if he's Martha or Arthur half the time on his decision. So if we can pull that edge apart and get Fox and Latrell some good football, I think there's definitely some room to get some points.
Yeah, we agree.
How Jack gets in the game you brought up the other day, I don't know. That's one thing I was looking at. Looking at the bench, I can easily see what we're doing with our two front rowers. I could see Martin potentially playing as a lock, or if they want to roll Sims off or Murray off, he might get a run on the edge, or they push one of those guys in and take a middle, etc. I'm still a little bit iffy as to how they'll use Martin, but Jack, similar to you, like, do you think they'll consider just throwing him in the middle at lock? Or
they might have to.
Put him in an edge and taking one of those guys off, like a Tarek, and saying, we just want you to, you know, go nuts for, say, 60, 65 minutes. But usually,
or is he just insurance for
Luai
not working?
So, well, that's the other thing I don't think you'd want to do. If you've picked him, I think you have to stick with him. But we did it with Cody the other year, and I thought that was horrendous.
Or is he just insurance for an injury from
anywhere?
One to seven.
So
I don't know. You could throw him on, I guess, on the edge back row. You could throw him out there and push Cam Murray to 13. That'd be, you know, probably the one little interchange that I think Freddie might have up his sleeve will be that.
Think Cleary's kicking game, obviously huge. Luai's pretty good with the short kicking game, but we know where all the long kicking's coming from. He's been outstanding at club this year. Similar to Daly Cherry Evans, who's really, really good on that side of things. Some of the early kicks and front-loading their energy, their defensive efforts, isolating somebody at the back there. I think Coates in particular with attacking kicks, as big as he is, he's got an error in his game. He's someone you can try and work on. His kick, he's obviously going to be a massive, massive part of what we do.
I think it'll be kick timing as well. Out of yardage, I'd be kicking a lot on play four
and
just trying to move the ball down to the other end of the field.
100%.
And rather than having those outside backs catch on the full and bring back.
Yeah. And what you spoke about multiple times when we talk about defence, I think having two guys that don't defend in the front line and some new combinations there, it's very important that they're positive and not static on the edges. If we're doing a good job, middle's getting off hard, working hard from the inside to help our outside men, but just up and up, square, like Latrell time, no one biting in, no one coming in off their line or getting too tight. Like, we need to be real positive on our edges.
Yeah.
Because we saw the other year with Latrell, and that was the whole hoo-ha here about would he play Origin again, which Fred, we said this before, is not that kind of person that's going to stamp someone's books. But that game that he played before he got dropped, he was all over the shop. He was coming in tired. He was jumping inside his inside defender and crossing paths. He was leaving space, missing tackles. Like I said, with him and Tom there, I just hope early on we're very, very positive, getting a bit of help there. Like, Nate's a great defender outside Tom, so I'm sure that's going to be positive. But, you know, Tarek, Luai, Latrell, that edge there, just up square, up hard, cut down time and space, and hopefully inside help comes as well. So early on, they can get some confidence, maybe get a couple of tackles under their belt. We don't have to worry about that. But yardage as well. Toto is proven this year that he's one of the best in the business in that regard.
Yeah, well, let's see how that translates to Origin.
And that's it. It's We're going to see that. All these 200-meter games, tackle breaks. Teddy, we know, does a great job just working out of yardage. Fox puts himself on the line, but I guess, again, another upside of having Latrell and Tom, two big bodies. So hopefully they find some carries as well.
Yeah, and even it around.
Get in behind so we utilise that skill. And, you know, people would say, why do you want to use them as a battering ram? Well, that's not specifically, but in this arena in particular, when you've got those guys, we've got four or five really good players there at the back that we can utilise and rotate through that sort of setup. So, yeah. I guess don't have much more to offer, Boxhead. I don't know about you, but I guess on that side, we know what Queensland is. Simple is best. They'll do the little things right. Munster and Cherry Evans will be the focal points. Harry Grant will try and probe, and those bench guys will come in and do their job. But my biggest worry is exactly what we just spoke about. We're talking about, look at this lineup, look at the talent everyone's talking about. And I hope Freddie just goes with less is more and people do their job. And the main focus is getting a roll on, dominating with those middles we've got, not getting pushed around, and let the Penrith boys steer the site and use those weapons that we've got in the team.
Yeah.
So, prediction time. What have you got?
I'm going Queensland.
Yep. By how many?
Oh, it'll be close, I think. 2-4. Somewhere around there. I'll be just backing either side to by Queensland less than 6.5.
By 4. Who is your first try scorer? Everyone likes to pay on that.
Really? I hate first try.
We always do this. It's just for a laugh.
Yeah.
I'm more of an any time person, but we always do it. Origin of grand finals is SDN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'll go Munster.
Money. And man of the match. Who do you see? Game one. Townsville.
Munster.
The money double. And the games that have been played said he's 90% today. you got to love it.
If you believe what comes out of his mouth.
Well, I already said it last week. Melbourne confirmed that he wasn't going to camp if he wasn't good to go. So Melbourne basically made it all but certain that he was going to camp because he's able to play. Dane Gagai's apparently got tonsillitis. They're playing all the same silly buggers they usually do.
Yeah, but we'd listen. So, just don't listen. Pay it no attention.
That's always good fun. I'm nervous because it's up there, and that obviously makes a huge difference, but I think we have to win. So I'm going to go...
Doesn't mean we will.
No, I know that, but I'm going New South Wales because I think this...
Seen it before. I'm a firm believer, and I say this every year, I tip whoever is the home team. That's it. And this is supposed to be a neutral game. It's not. I think it's even Stevens. I really struggle to split them, but it's going to be an absolute Queensland fest up there. It'll be mayhem. You can argue all this shit about it's a dry track, it'll suit New South Wales. Queensland have got just as many attacking players in there. Side to cause New South Wales problems.
100%.
I think they'll get the rub of the green in terms of the referees. That's just the way I'm leaning. I hope Queensland get flogged by 50, but I always tip the home team in Origin. I think that's just how it is.
Well, I'm going New South Wales by 6. Going to go Fox for first try. And I'm going to go Teddy for man of the match. I think after getting knocked out in Game 3 last year, he's going to want to have a huge impact Game 1.
I think if New South Wales win, Cleary will be man of the match.
Yeah, I was about to say otherwise it would be Cleary, and that's probably, I'm assuming they're probably going to be the two most popular picks with BlueBet.com, who obviously, as we speak about every week, are our sponsor and on with the board with the charity bet for the Bears of Hope account. So a big thanks to BlueBet.com.au. Jump on board the website, join up with BlueBet.com or download the app today. And they have an absolute corker promo, which I'll mention, for Origin 1. But going to the odds now, as we've just given our tips and our predictions, head-to-head, Queensland $2.40. So with your tip there, bit of value, they are the outsider. With Blue Bet, New South Wales $1.57.
I wouldn't be betting Queensland. I'd be betting either team by less than 6.5.
Well, the line now is 4.5 either way. 1-12, Queensland $3.55. For New South Wales, 1-12, $3. 13+, Queensland $5.80, New South Wales is $3.15. Getting into some try scorers. First try scorer, I've gone the Fox. Obviously, that left-hand side, he is the favourite of everyone. $8.50, no surprise, all the wingers in the group there. Toto, 9s, 11s for Coates, Felt. Tedesco, 12. Tommy, 13. Val at 12 as well. Luttrell, 13. And who do you have here? You got Munster. If Munster was the one to crash over first, he'd get $23 on that edge of the field. So a bit of value in some of those guys there. And we always talk about the back rows. Is there a man of the match market? Here it is. As you just said, no surprise. Those three guys we just talked about. Nathan Cleary is the far and away the favourite. $5.50 with Blue Bet. James Tedesco is $6.50. And after that, Cameron Munster, $7.50. And then the next closest starts at double digits with the two other spine players for Queensland. Cherry Evans is $10. $11 for Harry Grant. $13 for Cook. $15 for Luai. So, as always, spine players, the lowest odds. But in particular, the three guys that I think could have the biggest impact, Munster obviously on the Queensland side, but for New South Wales, it's Clear and Tedesco.
Yeah.
And they are the two favourites in the betting here. And again, probably those prices showing how urgent it is that they have those big games and have that impact on this series. Because otherwise, going to Suncorp Game 2, we've said it again, and I hate saying as a New South Welshman, but it is just different going to there for a game of football.
Yeah, it is.
I don't care what anyone's... And it absolutely hurts me. In the last few years, New South Wales has been better at home, but it's just not the same. They are absolutely rabid the few times we've been there.
Mm.
And it's not been a happy hunting ground as a New South Wales fan, but as we spoke...
because they've got no dignity in Queensland.
They've got no...
That's all.
Classic.
There's no line in terms of appropriate and inappropriate behaviour.
Outstanding.
It's just all accepted up there.
It's all
right. Origin.
It's going, come on, mate. Come at me. I'm just going to drop a truth bomb.
It's absolute mayhem.
It is outstanding.
I remember the first time I went and we got flogged. It was Lockyer's last game. I was at the decider. And there was a bird with a bloke, they probably mid-20s, sitting in front of us. I had my Blues jersey on. And this bird had a G-string hanging out of her jeans by about 15 centimetres.
Excellent.
And she's turning around and absolutely giving me the finger. But every time they scored, screaming. And, like, I was about to choke out the bloke. He wouldn't turn around. He was shit scared. But, mate, she absolutely pillaged me the whole night. Good-looking sort, too, but...
Excellent. Mate,
Queenslander. Just absolute maniac.
Gave you a serve or 10.
Yeah, with the G-banger hanging out of the jeans and...
That's all it's all about.
Flipping birds.
Outstanding.
So unbelievable, yeah.
And then I remember...
That was my first. I was like, what is going on here?
That day we got laced at the Caxton, and then every time someone bumped into you, who are you going for? You say New South Wales, you just cop a mouthful. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
Friendly nice. Place, the Caxton. But...
yeah, it's a bit overrated. It's just a pub. Like, fuck, yeah. There was a million people in there. It was good. Good atmosphere, but... Yeah, it's in the end, it's just drinking all that everyone goes to. It's near the stadium. It's no different to the brewery at Homebushier.
Fair enough.
Anyway.
But there you go. In-depth origin.
They're just maniacs, that's all. And that's not attacking Queensland, is that? I reckon they'd like that.
They love it.
They're maniacs.
They absolutely fucking love it.
Yeah.
It was great. I enjoyed it the few times we've been. I didn't enjoy the result of the games. But
they think Queensland's a country. Like, look at Anastasia Palaszczuk.
Lock them out.
She's a moron.
It was great.
She's looking for some cabbage from New South Wales.
She goes, yeah,
and then now all of a sudden she's got cash to spend, what, $8 million on an Origin game. Good on you, Anastasia.
Well, like we said at the start.
What does she fucking care? She just got voted back in anyway. So
first it was kick everybody out, we don't want you here. Then as soon as the Origins and everything became available in the season last year,
and
she's
the fact,
like,
she gets
bring up
re-elected here. Just tells you everything you need to know about Queensland.
Well,
that's all.
There's a lot here for Queenslanders to absorb.
Yeah, good.
Brock is throwing down pineapples.
I've tipped Queensland, so...
Yeah.
Blow it out your arse.
But there you go. In-depth Origin Game 1 preview between New South Wales and Queensland up there at Townsville. Should be an absolute belter.
Are we going to talk about Cleary Gate? Are we going to talk about the pillaging he got?
We're going to talk about a few things before we finish up. And like I said, a quick look at those games as well. But everything and that preview and the odds brought to you by BlueBet.com. Jump on board with the
Get
best
on that promo.
True Blue bookie and the app. Download the BlueBet app today. And that promo coming through here from my man Simon, who sent it through. And I think it's just coming out tonight, Sunday night. $3 you get for Josh Adokar or Valentine Holmes to score at any time.
Just one try. Either of those two.
And,
at any time. Is that...
$50 max bet.
Yeah, well, I'll be having 50 on it.
Yeah, I'll be as well. Cause
I reckon that should be our charity bet.
Oh, I don't know if we've got a charity bet beforehand.
What do you mean?
Well, I think it comes in maybe before the Origin round.
Nah,
I might have to.
We'll surely we get one for Origin. Come on, Simon.
I'll jump onto Simon.
Come on, Simon.
See if we can
come on, BlueBet. Something for the charity.
Get it in early. We'll take the promo.
Yeah.
$50 on that.
Nah, we should get an extra bet for the Origin, surely.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Come on, Simon.
He listens. It'll be out tonight. But BlueBet, crack a promo, as we said there, for game one. $3 you get for Josh Adokar or Valentine Holmes to score any time in game one. So get on board with that. Get on
the
BlueBet.
Do they do deposit match?
I have no idea. Again, you should ask Simon.
Yeah,
you've got the email.
I'll be... No,
again,
I don't. I'm not CC'ing that, mate.
You were in the original one.
Yeah. Well, how long ago was that?
I don't know. A couple of weeks.
I'll delete my emails. What's a couple of weeks?
You got problems.
Months ago, mate.
Should be in there. No, it's not months ago. It's not months ago, mate. But there you go. Origin 1, round the corner, thanks to BlueBet.com. And you want to talk about Cleary Gate and a couple other things? Here's your opportunity. Cleary Gate, what's your thoughts?
I thought it was dog shit.
Getting fingers.
Oh, I thought it was good that he copped it.
Yeah.
Because you should cop it.
And he blow the kisses.
Blue kisses and all that. That's all good.
And he did leave.
But it was more the Tigers fans thinking they fucking won a grand final. Like, you beat Penrith, who had 8 out, and you're carrying on like fucking pork chops. You won 2 games in a row. Like, fair dinkum. I thought it was just a bit over the top. I didn't have an issue with him giving it to Cleary, though.
No.
And Ivan probably knew that was coming anyway. So.
He smiled in his press conference afterwards. I think he said as much.
It was good. I liked it. And that's it. That's my review of that game.
The way it was horrible. The way it was analysed, even afterwards, I was surprised. People were talking like, you know, they got this and that, and this might be a problem. It's like, there's fucking eight blokes missing.
Yeah, the Tigers aren't in the eight. Like
what, why are we analysing this game? Like, it's some huge blight on Penrith. Like, and the streak's over. I'm like, well, not legitimately, it's not over.
It's not.
Like, it's over.
Penrith's best team. Yes,
but it was literally half the team.
The streak's not over.
So, a couple of debutants, a second gamer. You know, you got May, who's basically played bugger all minutes this year and all at half most of last year.
We take a bit of the credit. Manny started the slide the week before.
Started the slide.
We knocked off the New South Wales Cup, but that was actually their legitimate team.
Mm.
So.
And speaking of Tigers, while we're on the subject, I guess similar to you, I had no problem with that and whatever, but there's been some reports today. They've got to look into something happened with the crowd. Apparently, there was a bit of extra abuse dished out and some people had cans thrown at them, etc. Like, yeah, you never know what's going to come of that, but it's been looked into, so
fire up.
They got well rowdy. Looked like it was a good
time.
They
play the victim well, the Tigers. Don't they?
The victim. It's the Penrith fans that said they had cans thrown at them.
But they're carrying on like pork chops and it's like, come on.
Well, they've certainly not let go of Cleary leaving, that's for sure.
No. Still, move on. It's done now. Like, and his decision has been justified. Because the Tigers are outside the eight, Penrith are flying.
Mm. Can't argue with that. Speaking of the Tigers, Tim Sheens announced
he's back
yesterday. He's returned to the club. He's the head of football.
There's a few changes going on in the background at the West.
I saw something the other day. Was it a guy that was from Australian cricket? Brett Kamali as well.
Kamali's going to come in on a part-time basis, I think.
I think I saw those two names. So that's all for what, pathways and development?
Apparently, yeah.
Tim Sheens. Probably a really good sounding board, I think, for Michael Maguire.
But he's got no experience in that role.
Nah, well, a lot of big...
It's one thing to be a coach, it's another thing to be an administrator.
Hasn't he done something in England like that, though? Didn't they give him a job at Hull KR?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he got a job.
I'm pretty sure he was coaching.
I think he was, but I think he took a job similar to that afterwards, or for a little bit. I don't know how it panned out. Anyone in the Super League, let us know. You pay more attention to the Super League than
I
do.
Not this year. I haven't watched one Super League game this year.
But I'm pretty sure he did have a similar kind of role, but coming back... His coaching tree is huge. We know all the guys that he had who are now in the NRL and his knowledge and what he does. I think, if anything, it's just a good sounding board because it was mentioned before as far as assistants and what Madge has got around him and who to help him there. I think Tim Sheens is certainly a huge plus in that regard to go talk footy with or get some ideas or have around the club. And in regards to recruitment and retention, I know there's probably some guys out there who are maybe a little bit younger, know a lot about Tim Sheens' history, but there's definitely some people who are, I guess if they were getting involved in that process now, you'd have to utilise him, surely.
Yeah.
He won a comp there. He's won comps at Canberra. He's been the Australian coach. He's an absolute legend. So I think there's some positive moves being made at the West Tigers, but that one, hopefully another positive move for them moving forward.
Yeah.
And what else we got here? An unfortunate incident, which you don't want to see after getting cleared, last year with what happened with the police on Australia Day to Curtis Scott and having a couple of, tumultuous few years and getting... moving on from Melbourne and not playing great footy and coming down to Canberra and getting kind of past all that. There's some footage released this afternoon that apparently he went out last night or the night before in Kokomo's and he's cracked a bloke in the face. So said that no charges were laid and police are not involved. I don't know if that's the case and nothing's going to happen in that regard, but it's been passed under the Integra Unit, which has now been notified and with Canberra. And again, we say it every week. Just we need things to be quiet out of Canberra, and it seems that every week something comes out.
Season seems to be a write-off, doesn't it?
It's just
going from bad to worse to
and for Curtis horrendous. Scott as well, to get past all that drama and be found innocent and how he was treated was awful and a few harsh years. This is the last thing he needs either, because you think getting past all that, just football and
totally
hopefully good things moving forward, and then this incident's popped up. So we'll see what comes of it, but again, things you don't want to see. That's for sure. Anything else that we sort of missed in the mix? I don't know if we said the other night about the meeting that the Sharks had about telling Josh Dugan, Sean Johnson, Aaron Woods they can all move on.
Mm.
And Craig Fitzgibbon starting to make some moves there. Obviously got Nicho Hynes coming in. They're talking to Matt Moylan for a year and they're trying to keep Trindle as well. They've obviously got Tracy, so a couple of guys they've got options for, but seems as though they're not going to panic buy or overpay anyone. They're happy with what Moylan does to potentially pair it with Nicho, Brayley and Kennedy for a year and then jump in the year after when the market opens up massively. There's Cherry Evans, Sam Walker, and a lot of big names the year after. McInnes has been completely forgotten about, that he was signed before Fitzgibbon obviously come on board to come help their middle next year. But Sean Johnson, he's been linked to multiple clubs. People have wondered why Brisbane haven't inquired. Could they pair him up with Reynolds? The Bulldogs apparently have a meeting with him this week now to partner up with Burton. You could do a lot worse. Canberra were linked as soon as George Williams left. Where do you see Sean Johnson? Right, I guess the one thing for him is him and his manager aren't budging on money.
Yeah, he's still got value. But
the reason they won't budge is because he can go play rugby union.
Well, go and play union then. That's fine. Because he doesn't deserve high-end money because he's not playing up to it. So that's where I see Sean Johnson. I think he's got value, but at the right price. That'd be my take on it.
With Cronulla, before things broke down, or
injuries,
before
he's now getting on.
Fitzgibbon made his decision, which was they weren't going to entertain it regardless. I think he wanted 600 a year, two seasons.
Mm. But if I'm a bottom four club, I'm steering away from him because, like, you're probably going to have to pay good wedge to get him. And I know the Sharks aren't a bottom four side, but they're certainly not a top eight side, are they? Any. He's struggling to get them around the park. So I think it would be smart for someone up the top end to try and get him at a good price.
Well, I said
to plug him in with someone who is going to be able to do the things and shore up the limitations in Sean Johnson's game. Well, again, rather than going somewhere where he's going to have to run the ship himself and all of those things are going to get exposed.
At the Bulldogs, there's no forward pack at the moment. And again, we're still waiting to see guys get signed. Does he work with Burton? I'm sure he could help Burton out.
What about the Raiders?
Well, the Raiders is the one that you look at and think, well, if you put him with Jack and he steers that ship, and they've obviously get things back on track, God knows what's going on there, but the perceived thing coming into this season, and I was one of them, was the forward pack's outstanding, and they've got depth in that area, and if you had a good 7 and a 6, which we thought they did before this situation panned out, and Hodgson fitting back in, that things would be all good, so I think of all locations, like you've just said, one that I think could turn things around or go in a positive direction, that was one that I'd be looking at. Brisbane I'd be steering clear of. Even with him and Reynolds, I still think there's a lot going on there. Yeah. I don't really think that's the best landing spot. The Bulldog situation would be purely for money, I think. I think he could help Burton, but again, there's no forward pack.
No.
Someone mentioned today South Sydney. I'm like, well, South Sydney flicked Reynolds.
There you go. That'd be
just signed six kids, like all those kids we talked about, Mazulis, Ilias, Taff, etc. I think they're planning elsewhere. And again, I come back to the point again that I made. He's not going to budge on money. And if money's his priority, you don't want him.
Go to rugby.
Go to rugby, play Jack Rugby, get what the money you can. If that's all you want, I don't want Sean Johnson.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that they're talking that's a big part of it and he won't buckle for anything else goes back to why.
We've spoken about Sean Johnson for a
few years ago. I talked about the Warriors situation. Like, it wasn't ideal who they brought in, but for him to go there playing poorly and say before the season, like, I want this deal done now, I want $1 million, it's like, I don't blame the Warriors in the end for doing what they did.
Move on.
They just said, find the door. Aaron Woods. You think he's got value somewhere?
Yeah, again, at the right price.
He was asked today about going back to the Tigers and said that he's never had an issue and always still loved the club and still watched from afar. Do you think that's someone that could look at him again? The Bulldogs again, he's already been there for the right price, is there?
Yeah, I think he could add value somewhere like the Dogs.
Or if not, again, one of these better clubs, you think, again, if you want, I think some of these guys, if you've made big money, which he has, if you've played rep football, if you get to the back end, I know it's a limited window, but I'd just be selling myself to a top club. I'd be going to someone and going, look, I've made $600,000-$700,000, I've got the rep payments of $30,000, $90,000 a series, however many, $25,000 every game I've played for Australia, etc. I've made money. What's my value on the market right now? It's definitely not there. It might be $400,000, $500,000 at a bottom sort of club. I'll go play for Roosters or Storm or anyone that's willing to take me in that regard for $300,000 for a season or $250,000 and try and win a premiership. It doesn't happen very often, but the Morrises did it. Obviously, still playing good football when they went there, and they could have gone other places for more money. But at the back end, if you've made money and you just want to win or you're looking to win a competition, I think if you've made good money, like, surely you want to win a competition.
You would think so.
And Josh Dugan, similar deal. Like, he's made huge money. I don't know where he ends up. Would he be valuable for someone? Yes, at the right price. He's definitely not going to be on $800,000 or anything close to that again. Half of that would be a surprise given just commitment, injuries, like where he's headed. Like, you just don't know. I have no idea where he's going to end up, but similar deal. If you're at a point where you've made massive money your whole career, if you want to win a competition, I'd be selling myself at a lower price to go somewhere to try and get that opportunity. So, interesting one there in regards to those three guys. But we'll quickly run through the short round, which was played out. Dragons Broncos, absolute bloodbath. It was their seventh halves pairing. They got absolutely shredded, 52-24. They led 18-12 at one point after young Rabadi in his second game. Scored a double, and Kelly had some nice touches, and it looked like they were back in it. And then before you know it, 34 unanswered points. They just got absolutely pulled apart by the Dragons.
Yeah, that's your review.
Benny Hunt, really good. Everyone's going on about the Dufty side of things. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah. He's a good player, but they've seen enough. Like, he's been there for long enough to cement his spot. He's been in and out. Like, I know he's playing good at the moment, but it's probably the change would be good for him as well. So they've obviously got their sights set on Ramsey playing one, and that's the direction they're going. So move on.
Mm.
Yeah, well, he's good. He's an NRL player, no doubt about 100%. It. So I think the change would be just as good for him.
I'm similar to you. There's been patches where he's been really good. There's been patches where he's had no impact at all. But I think they're probably looking at the whole picture, which a lot of people aren't. They're just looking at...
Yeah, and what's the price?
The try assists and the try, like those moments on the weekend. And part of it was when they were short, but it was also against Brisbane.
Hmm.
Like, has he ever done that against Melbourne or the Roosters or any of these other really big sides? Have we seen him light up a game like that?
Oh.
We've also seen games that he really needs things to be going well and on the front foot for getting himself involved because he's a smaller body. He can be bullied at the back sometimes in terms of yardage. He can be bullied under the high ball. He can crab sideways when they don't have a bit of roll on and they don't play from the inside and get kind of caught out defensively. Organising, I don't really know. And the other thing that's been the biggest question, I guess, the whole time is just person. They've been vehement that that's not the situation, but he was dropped by McGregor. Flanagan said he didn't have any problems with him. Now Hook's come in and he's moving on from him. Like,
yeah.
I think there's plenty of options out there. Brisbane have been linked. Canberra, a surprise one today in the mix after Klokstad's injury, that they think they might be able to get some value, but I heard that the first asking price at the Dragons was very high. And fullback's obviously a premium position these days.
He's priced himself out of a spot there.
There's also a lot of clubs that don't need a fullback. It's one of those things right now where a lot of the good clubs or the top-end clubs are pretty much sorted in that position. So I don't know where he ends up, but Brisbane, I think, are an option. The Bulldogs would be an option to be a lot cheaper than Dallin if they can offload him. Would you take him to the Gold Coast? Would you consider Brimson moving in?
No.
No, you wouldn't want him?
No.
The Raiders one surprised me, but yeah, I think Bulldogs and a couple of those teams, Brisbane certainly could do with some help there. Bird in the back row wasn't bad, and yeah, for Brisbane, like I said, there wasn't a lot to take out of the night. Missing Coates, Haas, and the Dragons have still got a swag of players missing as well from injury and suspension. Didn't expect it to be that lopsided, to be honest. I thought it was going to be closer.
Yeah, but we've spoken too long about it.
Good result.
Shit game.
Tigers, Panthers, we talked about a little bit before, but how could you be surprised with eight players out, and in particular losing your spine, your link man, majority of your forward pack, and having a bunch of debutants and guys that haven't played a lot of footy. The Tigers got stuck in it. Full house, rowdy. Tried to load up in yardage and beat them up. A lot of the football and the pressure was on Burton. There wasn't a lot happening on his inside, so every time he got the football, generally, defenders had come across. There was no numbers. A lot of the early ball to the outsides struggled, and I thought a few of the senior guys weren't as good as what they probably could be. I thought Burton was all effort, tried his ass off. Edwards tried, like Kenny tried, and in particular Robert Jennings in his first game for the year was really good as well. But Fisher Harris was the standout again.
They all tried, but they were missing their key orchestrators. It was always going to be a tough night for them.
Yeah.
West Tigers were good. Penrith were well below even what you expected them to be.
Yeah, Tyron May really struggled in the halves.
West Tigers also had a few tries against a run of play.
Yeah,
there was a couple disallowed for Penrith, so it wasn't as one-sided as the score suggests.
Big turning point was the missed kick for touch. Penrith score on that Burton. I didn't think Burton knocked him over on purpose. I thought Burton was going in for the football.
Yeah.
So that one to me is a 50-50 that went their way, obviously. And got the deflection off the kick, got the penalty try, which is the real big talking point for me. What was your thoughts on that? Because if that decides...
I didn't think it was a penalty
a try. Finals game or an Origin game or a grand final, you'd be absolutely pissed.
Yeah.
Because he went for the football, he popped it out, he barely clipped him. And then we've seen one in the group today where someone said, well, Brandon Smith last night lowered his target and scored, and he got hit in the head. I'm like, well, again, it's just another grey area we've opened up right now. And a couple of weeks ago,
it's all grey.
Sims popped Manu on their face, and it was as bad as Radley's or a couple of the other ones we'd seen a week prior, but because he was going in for a try, there was nothing mentioned about it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think for the Tigers, two in a row, Brooks, Laurie, a couple of those guys there. getting a bit of continuity in the spine, but Mbai might be injured. Good result for them, I guess. Just more so you get Penrith at that situation. It's a, almost not a free 2 points, but it's the best opportunity you're ever going to get 2 points against the Panthers. For them, just flush it. I think the biggest thing, we spoke about this, me and you, off-air during the week, for the Origin period, to me, any game after Origin, I wouldn't make anyone back up. I'd roll the kids out. I'd play the week after off rest, and all my focus is about winning the comp.
Yeah.
Not about streaks and winning games. And I'd just get through this period, manage their loads, make sure we're healthy so we can get on a run at the back end of the year. So this weekend, backing up, I don't see many.
See what happens.
But we'll have to wait and see. Storm Titans, a lot closer than I expected. Started a bit scrappy, but just before half time, got to 16-4 and thought Storm might go on with things, but Titans showed a lot of grit.
Yeah, it was a scrappy game. Titans had their chances. Melbourne were okay, I suppose. But both sides were undermanned.
Yeah. Thought
Titans should have drawn it up at the end there, but three or four chances. Fucking doesn't know how to pass.
No, they had multiple chances. Or Brian
Kelly doesn't know how to pass, sorry.
No, his one was probably even more glaring. Like the semi one, to execute's one thing, but Kelly literally had 10 metres of space and just a pass on the outside. And
yeah.
Could have been all tied up. And then with the 12 men on the field, they bombed a few chances and Melbourne scrambled and held on after Remus Smith was sent. And I guess that's one thing for Melbourne out of this. They're going to lose him for 2 weeks, I think, regardless of contesting or early guilty play. And Nelson's going to miss a week for a knee that he dropped in, and similar deal. It's a week regardless. So I don't know if they go fight either. I doubt they will. Probably just take the guilty play on both. But again, missing a lot of key players. The difference was your high-end guys. I thought Brandon Smith was actually outstanding for Melbourne again. Hughes had a couple of good moments. And, you know, there was a moment or two for some young kids. Trent Lorio, in like his third game, scored a try and got to start for the first time. Jaden Campbell was outstanding, I thought, coming in from a guy that literally has been elevated from, you know, COVID, no football, first games of Queensland Cup to how he played last night. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. He was all right.
Greg Marzu, formerly known as Greg Lulacio, has had to wait a long time between Parramatta and Titans to get a game. He had some moments as well, scored on debut, but yeah, in the end, I guess the main thing is you want to see that defensive
Melbourne effort. Did Melbourne things, Titans did Titan things. That's it.
Mm.
Titans find a way to lose, Melbourne find a way to win.
And Holbrook simple. Frustrated with his halves, and that's a picture that's still going to be resolved, I guess, moving forward.
Yeah.
Whether it's Boyd, Sexton, Taylor, I'm assuming will definitely be on the move out of the club. And if they're interested, well, there's another one I didn't mention before. What would you think about Johnson playing the Titans?
No.
No? Wouldn't want him paired up with Fogarty?
No, he's just the same as what we've got. We need a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. And the game today, absolute bloodbath. One-way traffic, 40-4, the Eels.
It's fucking embarrassing.
Over the Newcastle Knights, missing Clemmer, Frizzell, Ponga, Pierce. They've had multiple guys out, but in particular in the middle, they just got rolled over. Their edge defence, they got pulled apart, they picked apart both sides, in particular the new edge there with Tuala, Clifford, etc. They found a lot of love rolling down there. Gutherson, Moses sweeping down that side, trying to create overlaps and extra numbers. Sevo crashed in a few times. Cartwright grabbed another try off the bench. You know, the guys that filled in, the only player they ended up missing was Paulo, so Murata, Papali, all these guys that have been good all year. Good again. I think the biggest concern for them was they got Marnie back, which is a plus today, but at the end of the game, as you said, it's potentially a shoulder injury, but if that turns out to be something long-term, it is not an area they've got a lot of cover in, that's for sure. So a bit of a concern there for Parramatta in that regard, but otherwise, pretty solid all-round performance by all the guys. Brown back in today made a difference. He had some good moments and probably brought the cohesion a bit back. They're a bit more threatening on both sides of the field. Lane made a good impact off the bench. There wasn't really anyone that had a bad day in regards to the Parramatta Eels. So also helps when you complete it over 80%. The opposition completes at 60, mid-60s, and you get the run of possession. And then the other area up until the back end of the game, which was huge as well, was offloads. They, one point, I think it was 17-0, the offloads from Eels compared to Parramatta. It finished at 19-4, but the amount of second efforts there, broken down play, quick play of the balls, like just opening up spaces and having to make double efforts and break them down. Bit concerning for Newcastle today, and probably even more disappointing is the fact that it was old boys' day and a lot of troops out regardless. The effort sort of disappeared after that first 15 to 20 minutes. But in the end, your thoughts was fish chip paper again? done and dusted.
Yeah,
I was smoked.
Terrible.
Embarrassed on Old Boys Day.
Terrible. Yeah, Old Boys Day gave me, you know, a glimmer of hope for Newcastle, particularly what they did last week at home against Manly, and then they dish that up. So I worked that out. I don't get it. There's something deeper going on there. I don't know whether it's they just don't have the cattle. I know they're missing Pierce, which is their steering wheel. They're missing Ponga, which is their attacking flair. But it's more just around their grit and their defensive resolve. They've just got none. There were some tries there today where they just crashed. Like, blokes are falling over the line. The first try, like, Madison fell over the line. No one got in front of him.
Mm.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. And again, second phase.
I didn't think Parramatta were, you know, that outstanding that they should have won by 40.
No, it was a bit of a training run, in all honesty.
Yeah.
But yeah, biggest concern, I guess, I'll wait and see about Reid Marnie, because they've got Lussick, Will Smith, a couple of guys that sort of plug in there, but they do not have another person to take that spot, which would be a huge concern if it ends up being a long-term injury.
Oh, it's going to be huge. If it's a long-term injury, good luck.
For Newcastle, Ponga, Pierce, when? I'm still not hearing when they're going to be back. Clemo's obviously suspended. Frizzell's now looking 6 weeks, had surgery. Safidi in there, so they missed probably their three best forwards today. The troops are hurt, but like you said, there's obviously other stuff going on there that we're not seeing.
I don't know. That's what it looks like.
We'd like to be a fly on the wall and know what's going on at Newcastle, that's for sure. But there you go. That wraps up the shortened round. And any other little gems to talk about? The massive Origin 1 preview brought to you by bluebet.com.au. Make sure you bet with bluebet.com. Download the app today and get on that promo. $3 anytime try for either Val Holmes or Josh Adokar with bluebet.com. That's absolutely outstanding. That game Wednesday night. And we'll do a review of Origin 1 and a tips and preview of round 14 box head either Wednesday night
after. Straight after the game. Let's just do it.
So we'll do a late night special. Do that summary and do our tips for the round ahead. So that'll be out late Wednesday night then.
Yeah.
And as
we'll try and do it to coincide with the press conferences as well.
Yeah.
See how we go.
As we do throughout the Origin series, obviously it doesn't overlap as much anymore. The Sunday game midway is a standalone week, isn't it? Everyone's got the week off. They'll probably have those internationals.
That's a good question.
I'm pretty sure they're having that standalone week again. And they have the internationals, maybe. I don't know about that. I
doubt they're going to have international games.
But, maybe internally in Australia. I mean, the guys that are here playing, not bringing any of the Super League players out for that week.
Pretty sure it's just their Wednesdays.
One's a Sunday.
For sure. Is it really?
Yeah, one's a Sunday again. But I thought when I looked at the NRL draw, there was a week in between.
Yeah, it is Sunday,
The Sunday game, and I'm pretty sure there's a gap between the NRL rounds if you go to them. I think so. That might be that standalone weekend again where they have
17th of June. So Sunday 20th of June.
Yep.
Is the end of round 15. Mm-hmm. And Thursday the 1st of July is the start of round 16. So yeah, there's two.
Yeah, there's a weekend.
Yeah.
So might be some other games there. Local, internationals, I don't know from the players that are available, but
women's State of Origin.
That's Sunny Coast this year, isn't it?
Yeah, Sunshine Coast. That's on the Friday.
Yep. So you have Women's Origin, Men's Origin on the Sunday, and potentially...
Well, what's on the Saturday then?
Some internationals, maybe. In the years prior, they've only brought limited players back from the Super League. There might have been a handful released back, like your Murdoch Masilas or Sikamanu come back a few times. But as far as what's available here, if they do have a Tonga Samoa or a couple of games there, or the PNG side, most of them play at the Queensland Cup there, so... You'd think for the most part, if they did have a couple of those games, it wouldn't be a big problem. Most of them are already here. Mm. I don't know if they are, but yeah, that standalone weekend. But during the period, as we'll do this the whole way through. We'll do preview reviews, etc., of short rounds, long rounds, and obviously off the back end, if it is the Wednesday night, it'll be the same thing again, a review and then a preview of the NRL round ahead. But for now, mate, that wraps us up for the week. We'll do our tips for round 14 when we do the preview on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
for everybody out there, if you're a New South Wales fan or a Queensland fan, looking forward to the game on Wednesday night, enjoy 4X or a 2 is new, whichever the side of the fence you're on. Get some pizza, maybe a pasta, depends what you're into. Dirty bucket of KF. Sit in.
And we'll get some pizzas here on Wednesday night.
And enjoy
Spaghetti Eddies.
Hopefully.
Get ready.
A rip snorter of a game.
Hopefully it's an absolute belter, mate, up there at Townsville. It could be in the premiership
in terms of atmosphere for Origins.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
So looking forward to it, and hopefully everybody out there, you back a winner. I think that promo that we're offering from Bluebet is a good chance, and we'll both be having a $50 bill. So for now, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Bring it on. Give us more. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it? Is that it?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.